You know what sounds like a good time to me today? Crashing in with your Voltron commander suited up, dealing 11 points of commander damage to your opponent, taking them halfway down to defeat. Or crashing in with a bunch of little merfolk who you have made evasive, sneaking in, getting those combat damage triggers, drawing some cards. Or maybe you're feeling old school. Just sit back, ramp away, build up a board of elves, and then tap, 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 cast a Craterhoof Behemoth, drop the mic. That's game, fellas. Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we're going to begin to look at the deck alignments, which we talked about a few weeks ago with the one, the only Sage of Fables. If you'll remember on that episode, we talked about the different ways you could categorize your deck on a D&D-style alignment chart. This took into account two different axes. Not just the efficiency of your deck, where you would say whether it was a casual deck or an optimized deck, or something in the middle that was tuned, depending on how quickly you would expect to execute on your deck's game plan. Our focus today is going to be on the deck's texture, and in particular, we're going to look at the Battlecruiser end of the spectrum. Some important things to note before we get started: a deck's texture is independent of its efficiency. You can have a deck that is basically a Battlecruiser deck that is still brutally optimized to go for it as quickly as possible, or one that is meant to play for the long game and make sure those turns do make it to the double digits. A deck's texture simply focuses on where the deck is meant to fight its battles, and a Battlecruiser deck is meant to fight its battles on the battlefield during the combat step. A Battlecruiser deck's game plan is going to rotate around creatures on the battlefield and the abilities of those creatures to punch through and attack to win the game through combat damage. A Battlecruiser deck will focus the majority of its resources into the main phase, and most of the threats that deck puts out will come in the form of creatures. The texture of most limited formats, specifically Set Draft and Set Sealed, provides a very good analogy for Battlecruiser Commander, which explains why many of the most played creatures in Commander have historically been cards which affect the board, the mainstay of basic limited strategy. In games with multiple Battlecruiser decks, players will feel the pressure to put creatures into play because these can interact with the combat step repeatedly as either attackers or blockers. Creatures with powerful ETB effects are some of the most played creatures in the entire format, as they are both boots on the ground and they also provide the benefits of a spell. Also commonly seen are green creatures, which provide some form of ramp, from mana dorks like Llanowar Elves to Sakura Tribe Elder. As Battlecruiser decks begin to lead more towards synergy, they will also include engine creatures, cards like Tatiova, Benthic Druid, Viscera Seer, and Esper Sentinel, creatures who will generate additional resources beyond their value as just attackers or blockers. Of course, Battlecruiser decks don't only run creatures. The use of non-creature permanents in Battlecruiser decks are still to be expected, but they tend to be more straightforward. Artifacts are commonly used by Battlecruiser decks as a form of ramp, particularly when they don't have access to green ramp spells or creatures. Indeed, the only artifact which cracks the top 10 on EDH rack is Lightning Greaves, which serves to protect a commander from targeted interaction. Enchantments are usually powerful sources of repeated advantage in Battlecruiser decks, with cards like Smothering Tithe, Rhystic Study, and Mirari's Wake being among the most played. Planeswalkers are not often used, but four of the top five are most often from War of the Spark, which have those enchantment-like static abilities. One reason we don't often see a lot of Planeswalkers in the Battlecruiser level is that they are very vulnerable to the ubiquitous ranks of creatures which Battlecruiser decks field, who can often quickly attack down a dangerous Planeswalker, particularly if three different opponents all see that Planeswalker as problematic. Instants and sorceries in Battlecruiser decks will support the core game plan, with green ramp sorceries being among the most common, white removal like Swords to Plowshares and sweepers like Blasphemous Act being among the most played. At their most basic level, Battlecruiser decks interact by playing creatures, which, as we have already noted, serve as both attackers and blockers. Looking at strategy for limited, this makes sense. We've already described how creatures can affect the battlefield, and we've talked about how often the best choices for creatures are those which have additional enter the battlefield effects. You get your value as soon as you play them. A very basic Battlecruiser deck's game plan will often be, I will become the most powerful force on the battlefield and overwhelm my opponents in combat with my creatures. Very little of a Battlecruiser deck's game plan will include battles on the stack, which are common in formats defined by combo-centric decks like CEDH. Counterspells which do see play tend to be unrestricted counterspells, which a blue Battlecruiser deck can use to stop game-warping effects. In Battlecruiser games, because so little of the game is fought on the stack, it is not often expected that the blue player will have a counterspell or some other answer to something which is happening on the stack. Most spells, once cast, are expected to resolve. Cards which are proactive at preventing interaction from opponents, like Shalai, Voice of Plenty, Aestheticism, and the aforementioned Lightning Greaves are common choices. Non-creature permanents like artifacts and enchantments are very hard to remove, and what interaction a Battlecruiser deck will include will often be focused on creature bodies, like Reclamation Sage, or on flexible instants and sorceries like Anguished Unmaking. Sweepers like Wrath of God, Blasphemous Act, and Damnation are among the most powerful effects which can be played in Battlecruiser games, which is why cards like Teferi's Protection, Boros Charm, and Heroic Intervention see so much play in Battlecruiser games, as these effects break symmetry on sweepers and break the stalemates common in Battlecruiser games. Board stalls, stalemates, and games grinding to a halt are common in Battlecruiser games, as it can be very difficult for one player to generate an overwhelming enough position to break through and start putting multiple opponents on the clock without they themselves being left open to the crackback. However, a Battlecruiser deck does attack along axes which are more difficult for combo decks and some synergy decks, particularly those leaning towards combo, to be able to interact with. They often will overwhelm opponents with so many creatures that they simply run out of ways to stop a Battlecruiser deck from getting through and dealing damage. One thing that's very interesting to note is that a lot of CDH brewers are always on the hunt for creature-based win conditions, as CDH's suite of interaction generally only allows for a limited number of cards which can effectively interact with creature-based decks. You can generally recognize a Battlecruiser deck when you review a decklist with a few commonly seen features. Battlecruiser decks will have significantly more creatures than interactive instants and sorceries, usually at least 2-1 in favor of creatures. Battlecruiser decks will favor the ability to interact through combat with creatures, attacking and blocking over pinpoint removal and stack interaction. Battlecruiser decks will often also feature somewhat expensive cards which blank opponents' interactive spells or their ability to attack, particularly with permanents like Aestheticism, Privileged Position, or Ghostly Prison, as needing to remove both a protective element and then the actual problematic piece is much more difficult when a particular Battlecruiser deck really won't be expected to have two pieces of interaction like that available at any one time. Creature ETB effects will often duplicate the role commonly filled by instants and sorceries. Card draw off of Moldrifter, removal off of Reclamation Sage, or ramp off of Wood Elves. There will very rarely be distinct A plus B win condition in the deck, and indeed, going back to Sage of Fables rubric, it basically precludes A plus B win conditions in a Battlecruiser deck. Finally, one of the most common ways for a Battlecruiser-type deck to close things out would either be with something like Voltron or Overrun-type effects, off of the back of a card like Craterhoof Behemoth, or more permanent Anthem-type effects, which may help a Battlecruiser deck overwhelm opponents and put them on the clock. If what I've described sounds like your deck, and it's one you've been trying to tune up to make a little bit more effective into more pods against more varieties of decks, one of the best pieces of advice that I can offer is to run more interaction, particularly if you can run more flexible interaction off of the back of Orzhov spells like Anguished Unmaking, green spells like Beast Within, red spells like Chaos Warp. Any of these can be very effective at trying to increase the reach of your deck. The more options you have to interact with your opponent's game plans, the more effective your deck is going to be. So long as you keep your focus to trying to win entirely through combat, I think you will still keep to the spirit of a Battlecruiser deck, where you win by beating an opponent's life total down the old-fashioned way, from 40-0 with creatures in combat. What do you guys think? What are some of your favorite Battlecruiser-type decks? Let us know down in the comments on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mine Podcast, You can add us on Twitter, where we are at GemstoneMineMTG, or you can send us an email, where we are gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mine.